Hello, strong, feisty women. Some of you may recognize my voice. I'm Celine Yeager, host of the Hit Play Not Pause podcast. Throughout my career as a professional health and fitness writer and now a podcaster, I hear countless questions from women who are trying to understand how their ever-changing hormones impact their sports performance. So we decided to serve up some answers in a brand new series called Hormonal that we will be releasing on the Feisty Women's Performance Podcast feed. Throughout this four-part series, reproductive endocrinologist Dr. Carla DiGirolamo and I will be tackling topics like periods, the pill, pregnancy, and conditions like PCOS, all from the perspective of sports performance. If you aren't already, follow the Feisty Women's Performance Podcast and stay tuned for our first episode releasing on April 15th. Also, have questions you want answered? Send us a voice note at speakpipe.com/hormonal and we'll get it answered on the show.
Welcome to All Bodies on Bikes, the podcast, where all bodies are good bodies, all bikes are good bikes, and all rides should be celebrated.
All Bodies on Bikes is a movement to create and foster a size-inclusive bike community. So join your hosts. I'm Maggie.
And I'm Marley.
As we explore the complexities of the biking world, help us break down barriers and create the world that we want to see. And don't forget that All Bodies really means all bodies, not just larger bodies, but bodies of all sizes, ages, races, abilities, genders, sexualities, and beyond.
Come along for the ride. Hey, friends, and welcome back to the All Bodies on Bikes podcast. This is Marley. I am here alone this week. Maggie, unfortunately, doesn't have power at her place, which is a super big bummer because I really love chatting with them every week, but that's okay. It's Thursday night. We don't typically record on a Thursday, but that means that I just got back from my very first group mountain bike ride here in Bentonville. I've done a couple other group rides at like Rome Fest and Women of Oz. Those are mainly clinics. But tonight was my first like mixed gender group mountain bike ride. And I'm really glad I went. I was really unsure, but thankfully Cannondale, who is my bike sponsor, gave me an e-mountain bike towards the end of last year. And wow, that bike made so much possible today. That ride, we rode for like an hour and a half. I don't think I broke a sweat once, which I was really grateful for because everybody else that was on analog bikes seemed to be huffing and puffing a little bit to keep up with the group. So I would definitely be nervous to go on this ride without my e-bike. But it was really cool. We hit some trails that I had never gone on before. And I think I've been thinking about this a lot. And now that I am feeling better mentally, we seem to have gotten the dosages dialed in and the right medications. I am feeling like my old self of like 10 years ago when I wanted to make friends and I wanted to be social and I wanted to explore and I wanted to build community. And it feels so good to feel this way again. You know, I think my first 2 years in Bentonville, I was in a really deep, dark place. And I fear that I might have burned some bridges here. You know, just with people inviting me to go for rides or inviting me to hang out and just not having the social battery or the mental health to say yes. So I'm hopeful that folks will be understanding and that I can start over with some of those relationships and just make new friendships. I'm a little bummed that I'm not at the after ride party thing. They're all hanging out at the hub, which is kind of where everybody goes after rides. But I am here to record this podcast with actually a really good old friend of mine. We used to work together back in our corporate America days. I believe she might still work in some form of corporate type job. But we got to know each other at Expeditors and we started riding bikes together. And I'm really excited for you all to hear Melinda's story and to dive in a little bit. So let me read her intro and then we'll bring her on. So today's episode is called Fighting MS One Pedal Stroke at a Time. Melinda Thrasher started riding in Bike MS in 2014 with her corporate team as a way to get out and have fun. That is also when I started riding. Fun little fact. After her third bike MS ride in 2016, she found herself diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. Since then, she has joined the committee to help give back to the community. In 2022, she was named the most inspirational rider for the Bay to Bay ride. It was that recognition of how her struggle affected others that made her become dedicated to being an MS ambassador and activist. When not fighting for MS awareness, she's a full-time senior project manager at a software company who enjoys gardening, cooking, camping, the beach, and throwing flaming axes. Welcome to the show, Melinda. Hi, Melinda. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hello. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Of course. Of course. We've been trying to make this interview happen for a while now. And it's funny, when we first started the podcast, I knew that I wanted you as a guest. And the audience doesn't know this, but you and I go back 10 years, 10 years, like as of this year.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. You're right. You're right.
Well, before we get into how we know each other, spoiler alert, has to do with bikes. Tell us about you. Who are you? What do you do? I gave a little bit of a bio in the intro, but would love to hear a little bit more. What makes Melinda Melinda?
Well, professionally, I am a project manager for a software company in franchising. So I love to document, make templates, and, you know, write the rules for other people's companies. I am a big volunteer for Bike MS, which we'll talk about. And that's pretty much my favorite hobby, I guess. I spend all my time doing this.
Which is awesome and very selfless. And we definitely will get into that. Your bio mentioned something about flaming axes. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. My grandfather's father came from Norway, Oslo, a very small town called Jerda, which is our family's native name. So that makes us Vikings. And we are a part of a Viking club here. We do the Vista Viking Festival, and I throw axes. And my absolute favorite thing to do is to throw a flaming axe.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
You've always been so badass and unapologetically yourself, which I don't know if you knew this, but I always looked up to you. I'm a little bit younger than you, and we kind of started our professional careers kind of around the same time at Expeditors. And I remember just like watching how unapologetic you were and how much you stood up for yourself and what we all deserved. And I remember saying, I want to be like Melinda. So thank you for that. I don't know if I ever told you that, but.
Thank you for telling me that. I did not know. So.
Of course. Of course. You've been a mentor to me without knowing it. Maybe I should have told you that. Anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about. So we've talked about Bike MS a couple times. Tell us about how you got involved in Bike MS. Where and how did it start? And then it became a very personal connection. And I'd love to hear more about that.
I have this story down because I get to tell it all the time and I love it. Actually, you're the reason I'm involved with Bike MS, because Expeditors International, the company we used to work for, is a top fundraiser in the Deception Pass Classic in Washington and the other teams that they do. And the team said, hey, we're going to get on bikes and go have fun, and there's free beer. And I said, I'm in. And that was the first organized bike ride I had done ever in my life.
Wow.
And you are a big inspiration to me, because as a large person on a bike, like, I was really intimidated by the spandex warriors out there. And you were like, yeah, you can do this, no problem. I didn't go to any training rides. I am the worst rookie rider. And I got my bike as a hybrid, not even a road bike, totally unprepared. And you got on that bike and you were gone. Like, you were like with these thighs, so powerful, seeing you on a bike. And I was like, I can do this. I can do this. And it was just, you know, pedaling. And my first ride was very challenging, but it kept me going.
Wow.
And actually, yeah, so that I did a first ride in 2014, which is our first, you know, 10 years ago, our first ride together.
That was my first coming big ride too.
Yeah. And look where it's gotten us in these areas. And then we rode in 2015. That was, so 2014, I pushed my bike up the one hill. that I had on the shortest course. Which, 2015.
For the record, hold on, before you get into that, the shortest course was still 22 miles. Is that right? It's still a very decent ride. So give yourself some credit.
Absolutely. And I still had so much fun at the event. I learned how to ride my bike because people gave me tips and they were super nice. And people were cheering on the side of the road, give you a medal when you were done. They thanked you. And I'm like, this is great. I'm raising money for a good cause. And the next year, I was able to use my gears and pedal up that hill. And then the second day, I did more hills and just making circles, just keep going. And I actually remember exactly where I was on the course, exactly the moment where I thought it could be me. I could have MS.
Mm.
Because part of the rider village at the Bike MS is a lot of education about what MS is. And I didn't know at the time. And then I rode a third year in Bike MS and I actually made it up Deception Pass. And boy, I pushed my bike up those hills. It's mountains.
It is.
You're literally riding through the mountains. It was the most beautiful thing I've ever done. Just gorgeous. And, you know, I got off, cried, yelled, screamed, you know, just sat on the road and just kept going. And it was so incredible of an experience. And then a few months after that, I woke up and my face was partially numb.
Ah.
And that was on a weekend and it was just a little bit. And I was like, yeah, you know, maybe I have a cold sore coming on or something. So it was just like the corner of my mouth felt like it was just tingling. So the next day, the numbness had spread a little bit more. I went to work at Expeditors and they said, you could be having a stroke. If your face goes numb, that is a sign of a stroke. Please get thee to the hospital immediately. Mm. So I went to the hospital. They said, you're not having a stroke. Would you like to have an MRI to see what's going on with your brain? And I said, yes, please. Let's please do that. I mean, I'm here. And in the ER, I got the diagnosis of multiple sclerosis.
Wow.
Which never happens. It's so rare. Because the doctor stood there with his clipboard and said, you have MS. Do you know what that is? And I was kind of like, as a matter of fact, I do. I've been riding for Bike MS and raised a bunch of monies for apparently my cause. What's now my cause?
Wow.
And he said, you have so many lesions in your brain, because that's what multiple sclerosis literally means, is many lesions. Sclerosis means scar tissue, sclerosi. So I have many lesions, scar tissue in my brain where your body's immune system attacks itself. Sound familiar? Autoimmune diseases. So your nervous system runs around on these nerve fibers, right? Like a cable. And then the outside of that cable with this called a myelin sheath in the nervous system. And it attacks that sheath. And the sheath gets the scar tissue on it. But what happens when your cable gets eroded? Your phone won't charge.
Right.
Or like weird things happen. So what we like to describe it is your body is misfiring. It's sending bad signals, or a pathway has been blocked.
Mm.
So people will get optic neuritis, which is in your eyes, and have vision problems. They will have a lot of problems with walking. So my left leg is actually 20% weaker than my right. You won't be able to see that necessarily if I'm walking down the street until I get really fatigued and my left leg starts to get a little wild, and it will swing and kick my right foot. So on my shoes, I could tell which one is the left and the right without even putting them on, because the left one is scraped off more on the bottom because I drag that foot.
Interesting.
So my Doc Martens that I've been wearing for the longest have the most obvious MS wear on them. And the right one has scuff marks around the ball of the foot and the toes because I just kick it with that crazy leg. And Some people have foot drop where they can't lift the front of their foot up. So they end up swinging their left or right leg, whichever is their MS leg. They swing it out in a wild fashion in order to like pick that up off the ground because they can't. So I don't exactly have that, but I definitely will drag and my left hip will get really sore if and I won't notice that I've been doing it until I start to feel the pain. And then my right leg will get pain from taking on more work. So yeah. it compounds. But some of the other things, the biggest thing I battle is fatigue. And it's COVID has taught the general population what fatigue actually is. It's not just being tired. You know this now. It is absolutely, utterly being drained. It's like a hangover without the party. You cannot get up and do things, or it just requires so much of your energy to do the basics that you have to then negotiate with yourself what you actually want to accomplish on any day. Or I set limits to how many things I will agree to do. And, you know, I joked with my best friend today. I said, it's best, you know, it's great to have a chronic illness girlfriend, because, you know, I'm going to call you up later and go, yeah, you know, I'm a solid maybe. And we'll check on it later. And then, you know, I'll be happy if you cancel.
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard that called like spoon theory. Do you ever, have you like, I don't have the spoons for that today, or I'm saving spoons for whatever. And that analogy has always made so much sense to me, but the way you explain it makes even more sense.
And strangely enough, heat will really drain us. Your temperature going up by even a half or 1 degree will make a big difference on your nervous system. So if I take too hot of a shower, I will go numb. I am not allowed in the hot tub for more than a quick moment. I'm really not allowed in there at all, but you know, I'll dip my feet in. I'm not going to lose out on the fun. But getting hot, your body starts to malfunction. One of my friends, that's when she absolutely has to use a walker or use a wheelchair. I have a cane. I've used a walker. These are things I never thought would happen in my life as a very healthy looking youngish person. You know, people look at me, they go, well, you look great. Like, oh, all my scars are on the inside.
Yeah.
But so many different things can happen because your nervous system affects so many different areas of your body, bladder dysfunction. So, you know, peeing your pants or worse, and not even knowing that you've done it, super fun. Make girls know about this stuff on a regular basis, but even the men who have MS as well. I mean, this is a super common thing. So being around other people with MS, great, because you don't have to like have no holds barred. Like you could talk about whatever you need to talk about, like, you know, and no, everybody just, they get it.
Do they know what causes MS?
There's no conclusive evidence. No. And it's not hereditary. Like there's no history of it in my family.
Okay.
Anywhere. But Northern Europeans have a strong, more of a likeliness, and it affects women 70% to 80% more than men.
And, fascinating.
There is different types of multiple sclerosis when you get a diagnosis as well. You can have a clinically isolated incidence where you have just one thing that happens and then you never have anything happen again. Like it never affects you. And that can happen where you don't have any disease activity or progression. What I was diagnosed with, and a lot of people are, was relapsing remitting MS or RRMS, where the flares of activity within your disease come and go. So your symptoms never go away permanently forever. They just kind of they kind of calm down, but then you'll have periods of high stress or high heat or, you know, things like that. And then you'll all of a sudden get new symptoms or just worsening of your normal symptoms. Another one of my things is swallowing difficulty. So that doesn't sound fun. Problems swallowing things, and you cannot go to the ER for swallowing difficulties unless you cannot swallow a whole couple of full of spit in your mouth. So it's not that big of a problem.
Wow.
But so having seen speech therapists and my neurologist, and I have a whole team of doctors, luckily, who care for me, and I'll get speaking fatigue where I just run out of the ability to like have the energy to make my mouth move the way it's supposed to. And swallowing is a big part of that too. That's very interesting, like how those little things like affect your life. So yeah. Like making also big thing, my least favorite symptom doesn't sound like that big of a deal, but is cognitive fog.
And okay. No, that sounds like a huge
you
deal.
Think. I mean, it's the scariest thing for me. I'm like, I think for a living. Right. I think for pleasure. You know, I like to remember my life and, you know, make an influence in the planet. And like even the ability to properly communicate can be challenging for a lot of people. I mean, I can't even begin to say it, but I am a super project manager because my accommodation is writing absolutely everything down, making sure absolutely everything is scheduled, and having lots of reminders that go off to make sure that I'm keeping on track and actually do a better job than a lot of other people because I know that I can't remember anything, but I can look it up. I can search it and I can find it.
Yeah.
So my boss says, do you know this or that? I said, nope, but I can find out.
Sounds like I need you in my life to project manage me.
All right.
Because I also forget a lot of things, although I'm getting better with tools and reminders and all those things. Well, let's talk about Bike MS. You know, you've got the jerseys behind you. What does that say? Valkyrie of Battle?
Yes, because of my Viking background. So part of, I guess I'll, a little spoiler there, but I was named the most inspirational writer for 2022. And that prize right now comes with designing your own jersey. So
that's so cool.
This is my Valkyrie battle armor.
That's beautiful. For the listeners, this. It's like, how would we describe this? It's like a
chain
gold... Gold metal chainmail. Is it a
yes.
bikini top almost?
Almost. It's yes. Yeah. It's a little bit bigger than that. It's more of a shirt. And then it has shoulders as well. So think of it as battle armor is what it is. So
and
I
the shoulders are in rainbow colors. So yes. For the listeners who are not seeing this right now, it's an absolutely beautiful piece.
So I sent them a photo of this and they printed it onto a jersey for me. And so I have Valkyrie of Battle. I had my own team for 1 year only because I do not need to be leading a whole team. I'll leave that to the much more organized people.
To the people that don't have MS, they can fundraise for you.
Oh, and make all the events. Absolutely.
Exactly.
And on my jersey here is a old-fashioned lager of beer, and Lloyd's Lagers was another Bike MS team, and he was an MS champion who lost his battle with MS, and we rode in his honor, and I stuck him on my jersey, and it's a wonderful legacy. I'm now with a team called Howard's Team. We have 17 people with MS on our team.
Wow.
So when I moved from Seattle after my diagnosis back down to California, where I was born and raised, I started writing in Bike MS Bay to Bay. And I say I complained my way on the committee because I had such an amazing experience with the Deception Pass Bike MS event that I wanted that feeling of community and of support. And I wanted accommodations as a rider with MS because my ability changed so quickly and so drastically with the onset of my condition. It's like one day you didn't know you have MS, and then you have a big flare up and your symptoms are bothering you all the time. So Nick, you feel like you're living with it now. So writing in this event gives me a reason to stay active all year long.
Sure. Yeah, I love that.
So being on the committee, what I do is I help advocate for people with MS. So we have ice vest transportation because it can get really hot riding on bikes, especially with the long routes. So I'll put my ice vest into a cooler and they will transport it from the start line out to one of the rest stops. So I can pick that up and put that on, or I'll actually attach it to my bike baskets too. So just making sure that we have the ability to do things like that on the ride. And last year, I actually had them change a rule because they had a rule against anything more than a class one e-bike. And mine needs a little bit more. And people with MS, with our fatigue, we don't have the ability to physically do things that normal riders do. So we need a little bit more. So as long as it's legal in that area of the bike route, we got the restrictions lifted, or I should say I got the restrictions lifted by getting a hold of the right people along the route, which one is one of the state parks, and getting them to clarify the rules of the particular bikes in that particular area. And now we don't have any restrictions for our route.
That's incredible. Congratulations.
And it was really important because without that, we would have had several riders no longer be able to ride. So it kept them riding, and we have lots of different accommodations for riding with MS. I ride an electric bike. It has a pedal assist. You know all about electric bikes, but there's a big difference between just, you know, grabbing the handle and letting it go like a motorcycle.
Yep,
and actually
like a throttle.
Pedaling a yep. throttle. So I use the pedal assist and I have a big old bike, but I go nice and slow, and that's my vibe. I'm the party at the back, okay? See me for the snacks.
Yes. Like this.
I am there with the cheer and the music. And
you always have fabulous outfits too while you're riding.
That's right, because it is difficult to find things in the sizes that we need them to be. This is why I'm talking to you. The jerseys behind me, don't get me wrong, I love Primal. They're an amazing sponsor. But I have a 3X women's sport cut. I have a 2X women's sport cut. And shocker, they're the same size.
Yeah.
They're the same size. I put three jerseys on top of each other and there was like a fraction of an inch between them. I am not the largest person that rides. I am wearing the largest size jersey available for women. So what, and the things that they're doing for inclusivity for other people, they're putting the pockets on the front for people who are in recumbent bikes.
That's really cool.
That's amazing because you can't lay on your stuff.
Right.
In a recumbent bike, you're sitting back. It's usually a three-wheeled bicycle, and a lot of people with MS have balance issues. I know two of my friends with MS who ride in bike MS have recumbent trikes, and they're really looking forward to that. But I'm like, that's great, you got pockets, but
can I get something that fits
me? I can't zip my jersey half the time, or it's rolling up and rolling down, or, you know, it's sliding around. Your videos touch me every time because yes, I'm a fast cyclist. Of course, I'm adjusting my jersey every 5 seconds.
Right.
You know, the truth.
I remember that was one of the first things we bonded over because I think you and I both ordered the biggest size of the jerseys. Yes. And I remember it was my first jersey ever. I remember putting it on and being like, I am not wearing this thing. And the whole team was like, you have to wear the jersey for the event. And now I look back and I'm like, why did I say yes? Like, it was not comfortable all day long pulling it down, but it's a thing.
And now I have a box full of jerseys that don't fit. They don't fit properly. It fit enough, but I don't feel attractive in any of them. So I wear dresses, and I have to say, only one time don't wear a long dress because it was just a little too long. It did get caught in my bike and caused me to have to take off my skirt in the middle of the road. Luckily, I had shorts on underneath. Wear shorts under your skirt.
Yes.
Yeah, but it was not fun. It took three people to get that skirt out of my bike in the repair shop. It was expensive repair. So I now wear short skirts and shorts when I cycle. And I live by the beach. I mean,
how perfect is that?
Riding to the beach. Just be able to get on your bike in whatever you're wearing and go. I mean, these guys have their surfboards and no shoes on and they're on their bikes. I mean, these people are crazy out here.
Bikes are so cool.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
It really is. Well, if I did my internet creeping correctly, I read that you're currently fundraising for Bike MS. Well, let's back up. So Bike MS is a huge fundraiser. So in addition to a big community ride and getting people into the cycling scene, it's a fundraiser. Melinda, can you talk a little bit about what the MS Society uses the funds raised for? What do those funds go to?
Oh, so great. The MS Society provides resources for people who are newly diagnosed. We have what's called MS Navigators. There's a free hotline you call and somebody gives you advice on how to navigate your life with MS. They help you find resources in your area. They connect you. They call people for you. They do things for you. They really, really help you living with MS. They also provide ice vests, so actual things that help you. One of my friends who doesn't have very good use of his legs got hand controls put in his car by the MS Society, and he did a cross-country trip. And it was so amazing. I just was so inspired and like, this is what the MS Society does. They actually gave him a life because now he can drive around where before he couldn't. It's like you could have a wheelchair but still get in your car and go. So
That's huge.
These are incredible accommodations. They send researchers to special functions where they get together and talk about making progress. They're actually putting the money to good use. They have an extremely high percentage rate of, you know, the ratio of their dollar. I know because on the committee, we are volunteering or getting volunteers for so much. We get things donated to the ride. Bike MS is one of the best supported rides in the country and one of the top fundraising rides, too. So a ton of their money goes into all of this. 20 years ago, there were no treatments for MS. Now there are 25.
Wow.
And to be honest, my treatment, every 6 months I go in and have a day with an IV in me, and I actually get a leukemia drug. I don't have something that it's not classified as an MS drug. It's being used off-label. It's called rituximab or Reabney, as far as that goes. But I'm allergic to my medication. It causes
me
issues.
That sounds problematic.
but I'm not as allergic as I am to other MS medications. And I didn't finish my diagnosis story because the third type of MS is progressive MS, where it's really bad and it progresses really quickly. And then they have a secondary progressive MS. So in 2022, the same week where they named me the most inspirational rider, I got the diagnosis of secondary progressive MS, which means I went in for my yearly MRI. And well, I'd been having some more issues with my walking. I went in for my MRI and I have more lesions on my brain. I have more activity going on. And so they said, now you have progressive MS. Mm. And there's no getting better from here, only worse. And I'm smiling. Isn't that crazy that I smile every time I hear that now? Because there's no excuses. Why do I live apologetically? I was born a thrasher. I mean, I've just been like making life happen regardless if people want you to or not. But I don't have any excuses anymore.
Yeah.
I just don't. I ride because I can. I ride because other people can't. So raising awareness is huge. So this bike MS, we actually do walk MS too. So on Saturday, my Viking team will be dressed up as Vikings, walking around like crazy people. But the other thing we do is we advocate on a national basis for people with disabilities in general.
Okay.
Actually, I'm going to Sacramento, California State Capitol for MS State Action Day this coming Monday, April 15th. And I will be shaking hands with legislators and talking about two bills, one of which bans copay accumulators. Hello, a lot of people, anybody with medical issues could benefit from this.
Sure.
Another one is blocking your medical bills off of your credit report.
Again, that's huge.
Everyone with medical issues could use this. So the MS Society is not just helping people with MS, they're helping people with disabilities all across the board. And a lot of the research that is happening for MS is actually benefiting other diseases as well, because science works like that. You discover something in one area and you find other applications. So I think things like Parkinson's and Alzheimer's and other neurological function diseases are all benefiting from this too. So, and really for me, this keeps me going. I used to volunteer as a speaker for women in tech, and now I speak as an MS ambassador and try to build this awareness. I mean, for the first time ever, the MS Society actually said a cure is on the line. They've never put cure in their mission before. And having such a large organization use such bold words,
that's huge.
Really is amazing. And
I have goosebumps hearing you talk about that, because
it is.
That would be such a life changer for millions of people living with MS.
They're looking at trying to develop some type of a vaccine because they know this is immune based, and they actually found a connection to I don't remember the name of it now because I MS, but a very common childhood like disease that people get.
I read this article too, and it's not coming to me.
Yes.
But I want to say I don't want to misspeak, but
I don't want to misspeak either. But
yeah,
the thing is that they're getting very close to identifying something that they can vaccinate against and cure. So the thing after that is for people like me to reverse the progress of the disease. So I love the fact that we have a lot of people who are, it's an awkward way to make friends at MS, but like I have a group of girlfriends online now, or like I met these people on Instagram, and now we met in person and we hang out in person, and we're a support group of women. And it's amazing. The Mylan Mavens, somebody, it's so crazy that you can like build your own support groups, and you have such a great community of support. When you go to these events as somebody with MS, you feel seen and you feel heard and you feel important and you feel the love of seeing everybody's teams, everybody who like the walk really brings out a lot more families and kids and dogs and like more fun. But even in the bike too, I met this great little girl named Amelia because she was supporting her mom by cheering on the sideline. And every time I saw her, I get choked up because she's cheering us on, and I just get something special out of that. Well, little did I know Amelia was a fan of me too, because I have the coolest bike and it's covered in flowers and I'm always fun. So now me and Amelia are friends, and I buy my Girl Scout cookies from her and I tell her how awesome she was. And now, like, we're buddies. And the best thing I do when I go out to events with the MS Society and I meet children and I say, do you know what MS is? And then they say no, or they say miss. And then I teach them what multiple sclerosis is, and their eyes get big, and I keep it light and friendly, but still knowledgeable.
Yeah, and so they know why they're walking or why they're fundraising. That's really important.
Right. And even children can get MS.
I Googled it really quickly to see if I could really quickly find the virus. And the first thing that came up was pediatric multiple sclerosis. However, I found the disease. So it's linked, research from Harvard Public School of Public Health, linked with the Epstein-Barr virus.
Yes.
So.
Mono, right?
Yes.
Isn't that the common name for it?
I think so. Yeah. So it's not a given, but there's seems to be some sort of a strong linkage there. So,
right.
Yeah. Well, I have a couple more questions for you, Melinda. So we talked about where the money goes to. You have is it correct that you have a $10,000 fundraising goal for this next year?
I do, because at that point we send an actual researcher to get educated about how they can make a difference in MS. So that's my goal.
I love that. So we will definitely put a link to Melinda's fundraiser in the show notes. We'll also have that on Instagram. You all should please go donate. If you've learned anything about MS, if you have a family member, if you have a friend, now you have a friend in Melinda. And we're going to get a picture of her with her incredible bike and put that up on the social media. How is fundraising going so far?
We are at the beginning of our season, and honestly, I do 4 events throughout the year, 2 walks and 2 bikes. My big one is the Bay to Bay. That's where I have the big team and I ride. I don't think I've gotten any donations yet, because we just got together, did our first training ride with Sweet. Howard's team, but I'm so grateful for the opportunity. And thank you for, putting that on the show.
Of course.
And please, like, reach out to me if you have questions about MS. I may not know the answer, but like, I have a lot of friends, and we have a huge, very, very, very supportive community, men and women. So
are you willing to throw out your email address, or we can put it in the show notes, whatever you're more comfortable with?
We can put my Instagram handle out.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yes.
Yeah, let's Absolutely. Go ahead and do that. So look in the show notes for Melinda's Instagram handle. And then just my last question about multiple sclerosis is, how can folks get involved with Bike MS or Walk MS? It's nationwide, and I believe in
yes.
Canada as well. So can you just register and show up? Do I have to join a team? Can you kind of walk me through that sort of thing?
Wonderful. So, I'm the rookie rider captain for my Bay to Bay this year. So this is perfect. You don't have to have a team. You can be a solo rider, but if you want a team, we will find one for you, which is super fun. We do training rides, so we will show you how to ride a bike in a group of people. Register, and then there is a fundraising minimum, and that covers your meals and snacks and the ride support throughout the ride. We do, like I said, we do training rides. We have education. There's lots of incentives, and you don't have to have a team, but there's lots of big fun teams out there. And if you're a top fundraiser, you get a really cool jersey depending on where your ride is. And at different donation levels, you get different prizes too. So if you're a top 150 fundraiser, you'll get special perks from your ride. If you raise $5,000, you get a passport to ride in any other Bike MS event for an entire year
Wow.
without having to raise the minimum again and without having to pay a registration. So at $5,000, it's like a year of rides.
That's awesome.
So it's a great perk. And at $10,000, of course, you send a researcher, but then you also get to go to a special ride, at least on the Bay to Bay. I know we have a special ride just for the $10,000 level, where everybody gets to come together for a really great weekend of like camaraderie about the Bike MS. So it's very, very nice thing to that is donated. So it's not like Bike MS pays for this. So these people donate all of these things for us to go on a ride. So
That's so cool. And you heard it here. Bike MS was both me and Melinda's kind of first foray into group rides and cycling in general. Honestly, for me, that's when I got a road bike for the first time. And prior to my, I did 64 miles. Prior to that, I had only done a 10-mile day. and look, we turned out fine. Everything's great. You eat a snack, you keep riding. You push your bike up a hill, you eat a snack, and just spin circles all day, right?
It's so fun. And you see such amazing things along the way. The Bay to Bay ride goes from Irvine all the way to San Diego over 2 days. We stop in the middle at Carlsbad and party on Saturday night.
That sounds
fun. You're riding the coast the entire time. You get to go through the Marine Base Camp Pendleton. We do a special, you get registered beforehand, so they make sure that you're clear to go. But people don't normally get to do that ever. So
that's so cool.
It's such a special perk. This year, for the first time, I'm riding 90 miles over a weekend.
Wow.
So 50 miles the first day will be the longest I've ever ridden. Yes. And then 40 miles the second day.
Yeah, you're going to do great. Just as soon as you
pedaling.
Get tired, just keep pedaling and eat a snack. I tell everybody this. As soon as you get
the
tired.
Rest stops.
Yeah. And I would encourage you to carry food on you as well.
I do.
For those in between. Yeah. So,
So my secret to success for Bike MS with MS is having a great list of things that I need to have with me. And I have a checklist that I keep 24/7 next to my bike helmet that it says, you know, bike lock, blah, 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 snacks, electrolytes, these things that I need to have a good ride, speakers and music and, you know.
That's so smart.
Something fun to wear.
I should have a list too, because even though it's my job, I always manage to forget something. So.
Well, you know, showing up without your shoes is probably, you know, maybe you could show up without your bike shorts. It's painful, but I've done it.
Forgotten a helmet before, which is like, oh, cool. Now I'm not going to ride my bike.
Right. So like it's, you know, wallet, keys, phone. It's really important for like probably anybody, but me especially. I'm like, I've got it down to a science now. And I used to use it just for Bike MS, just for the big ride, because I didn't want to miss anything on ride day. Now I use it for every single ride, where I'm like, great, got my little checklist, everything's good. Yeah, gonna leave the house without my keys or my battery on a regular basis. I have to walk right back in again.
Yep, same. Well, we ask all of our guests these final two questions. So the first one is, what does your perfect day outside look like?
I'm going to the beach and taking a ride down the coast. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I have a special spot where I stop and I have lunch and they're super nice. And then I turn around and come back. So it's about a 40-mile ride. And that's my perfect day.
That sounds incredible. It sounds lovely. And I'm actually going to be in California next week. So I can't wait to be on the coast and the ocean is calling to me.
Yes.
And then our very last question. So we've talked a lot about multiple sclerosis. We've talked a little bit about Vikings, but if there was any topic that you wish people asked you about more or that you got to talk about more, what would that be?
Wow.
And it could be bikes. It could be multiple sclerosis, but just curious if there's something else.
I'd say poetry and art and writing. My hobbies that I don't really talk about as much are creating art. A lot of people know that I paint shells just for fun because I pick them up off the beach, but it is, I've been trying to write a book about MS for a while now. I have a half finished book about women in tech. So my writing, and poetry is something that I'm getting back into as well, because it doesn't require a big goal. You can, you know, it doesn't really have to rhyme or make sense too. It's just very therapeutic type of writing. But I really want to put my book out there about writing with MS. And it basically a chronicle of my journey with bike MS and having MS, you know, like how to do this and not go crazy and super have fun at the same time. Like
I would
how
read
to
it.
Make the most of it. I was really inspired by reading somebody else's book about having MS. And I'm like, this is great, but I get that all of our stories are so unique to our experience. And a few of the things they went through, I identified with. A few of them, I couldn't. And I thought, somebody's really going to identify with my story. And honestly, there can't be enough stories out there.
For
there
sure.
can't be enough. So I think that was a big moment for me, realizing that I really still need to keep going with this and break down the barriers for entry, you know, until Primal hears it from 10,000 of us that we need something bigger and better, then, you know, we're probably not going to get it. So,
yep.
You know, putting
yep,
it out there.
Exactly. Well, thanks for doing the good fight. Thanks for honestly educating so many people tonight on this call, or that sounds weird, on this podcast. I learned a lot. Thank you for all the work that you do. And I'm grateful that our paths crossed in life so many years ago. Yeah. Any closing
so
words? Yeah. Thank you. Thanks for joining.
I have a quote about my life, and it's my hashtag. It's MS sucks, but my life does not.
Yes.
I mean, so my name is Melinda Thrasher. My handle is at Thrasher Melinda, but I was born a Thrasher. I have no excuse not to, you know, work hard at this.
So your quote was MS sucks, but my life doesn't. Is that correct?
My life does not.
Okay.
Yes.
MS sucks. That's probably what we're going to title the episode. So I love that. Well, thank you again so much, Melinda. It's been an absolute pleasure to chat with you. And I hope you hit your $10,000 fundraising goal.
Absolutely. And I can't wait to connect with people about this podcast. Like,
yes.
Come out of the woodworks, ride a bike with me.
This is an All Bodies on Bikes podcast powered by Feisty Media. The show is produced by Maggie and Marley and edited by the team at Feisty Media. Thanks for listening.